The Impetuous Heiress, written by Jane Ashford and read by Susan Duerden.
1. "Oh, Roddy, don't you begin to be a dead bore," drawled Lady Alicia Alston, gazing out over the great hall of Purdon Abbey with a distinctly jaundiced eye. The Honourable Roderick Massingham, second son of the Earl of Mern, sighed and leaned an elbow on the carved oak banister of the ancient minstrels' gallery. The one trouble with Alicia, he thought, was that she was so deuced easily bored. It took all a fellow's time just to keep her mildly amused, and he couldn't remember when he had last seen her really laugh. Often, struggling to hold his own against her lightning wit, he wondered if the thing was worth the effort. Watching Alicia's discontented profile, Roddy decided yet again that it was. Though he had known her for most of his 26 years, he had never become accustomed to her beauty. It struck him every time he looked at her. It was because of her mother, of course. The Duke of Morland, Alicia's father, had startled London society by bringing home the dazzling daughter of a Swedish count as his bride, and Alicia had inherited her silver blonde hair, ice blue eyes, and slender willowy body that was entrancing despite her height. It would help if she weren't so tall, though, Roddy thought. It was difficult to impress a woman who stared one straight in the eye. And Alicia was far too accustomed to giving orders and being obeyed. That was her father in her. Roddy nodded wisely to himself. Old Morland was known for his high-nosed ways. It was all very well in him, but he should have kept a tighter rein on his daughter. When she used that certain tone of voice, Roddy often caught himself doing what she commanded before he thought, and only afterward wishing that he had protested first. But they were all that way, the group of young fashionables who surrounded the Ton's most spectacular Deb. Or hardly that now, Roddy corrected himself. Alicia had been out for what, 6 years? She had refused several very eligible offers. Ned Trehune was making a cake of himself, calling her the Ice Queen, since she turned him down. And if she wouldn't have a belted earl... Roddy sighed again. One of the throng of suitors who hung about Alicia had to win her. Was it so ridiculous to believe that it might be he? With a sinking suspicion that it was, he looked up to find Alicia watching him. "You look just like a stuffed frog, Roddy. What is the matter?" When she cocked her head at that angle and lowered her eyelids just that way, Roddy thought, he always felt an unutterable fool. "Nothing's the matter. Thinking." Alicia's beautiful moulded lips curved upward. "You, Roddy?" "What are we doing this afternoon?" he answered hurriedly. "Didn't old Purdy say something about a riding party?"
"Purdy. Why did I let him cajole me into coming here? I might have gone to Vienna to visit Papa at the Congress. But no, I listened to Purdy, who promised all sorts of new amusements. I should have known better."
"Well, you should," agreed Roddy. "After all, Purdy."
They contemplated their host, Viscount Purdon, in disgusted silence for a moment.
"How is the Duke?" inquired Roddy then, recalling his manners.
"Oh, you know, Papa, always terribly busy."
Alicia's tone was airy. She didn't want Roddy inquiring too closely into her imagined trip to Vienna, for Papa would probably not have been pleased to see her there. On his increasingly rare stops in England between diplomatic chores, he welcomed her company for as much as 3 days together, but at the end of that period, they invariably began to irritate one another. Each was too accustomed to his own way, and entirely unaccustomed to opposition.
"Did you see that chaise arrive a little while ago?" she added to change the subject.
"The fusty one with the old-fashioned boot?" "Yes. Prime cattle, though,"